Is there a judgment ahead? Will God one day act to separate the wicked from the righteous? The last parable in Matthew 13 that the Lord Jesus told deals with this issue. Let me read it for you. Verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was filled, they drew up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but the bad they cast away. So shall it be in the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the righteous, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. The last of these most interesting kingdom parables in Matthew 13 deals with separation. It deals with judgment. And although we don't like to think about this subject, yet it's very much a part of Scripture. And the Lord has spoken of it before. Remember in the parable of the tares, the servants of the master came to him and said, look, you want us to go out and pull out the weeds that are growing up? And he said, no, let them grow together until harvest, and then I'll send forth my servants, and they will separate them then. Let them grow until harvest. Now, the Lord is saying, really, that you're going to have a mixture of good and evil in this world until the end. And there is going to come, though, a time of separation. And he uses different figures of this. In the case of the harvest, he said the servants go out and they gather the weeds together so that they can be removed before the wheat is actually harvested and threshed. He says, I'll say to the reapers, gather up first the tares, the weeds, bind them in bundles to burn them, gather the wheat into my barn. And so that's one figure that he uses. Now this is a different figure. But again, still the idea here of separation, isn't it? He says it's like a net that's cast out into the sea. And as it's pulled in, this dragnet is pulled in, all kinds of fish are caught. Now, fishermen are interested in good fish. There are certain desirable fish. Fish that will bring a good price on the market, that are edible, that are very good. I remember once being in Maine, and the hostess had a delicious fish dinner, and he was telling me, he was in the fishing business, he said, this fish is the most desirable of the ones that we catch around here commercially. And so it is in this parable. The net now is pulled up on the beach, and the fishermen are walking up and down along the net, and they're looking at the fish, and they're making a separation. Some of the fish they say, no good. Poisonous, perhaps. Inedible, undesirable, they throw them away. The birds may eat them, whatever. But the good fish, these are put into containers and they're taken off to market. They're desirable. A separation takes place. I remember once being on a beach years ago in California and seeing this very thing happen. A drag net had been put out to sea, and they dragged it in, and they were winching it in up on the beach. And then they were going along, and they were culling out and separating the fish. Some of them they didn't want, threw them away. And then there were the desirable fish. There was a separation that took place. Now, Jesus says there's going to be a separation in the future. This mixed condition is not going to go on forever, certainly not into eternity. And he says, basically here, as far as God is concerned, there are the wicked, there are the righteous, and there's going to be a separation take place. He says, The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the righteous. Now later on, Jesus gives further teaching on his coming. He says, if I go away, I will come again, receive you unto myself. And Paul, for example, in 1 Thessalonians 4, speaks of the Lord's return, and there's going to be the trumpet, and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ are going to be raised, and then these that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And he says, so should we ever be with the Lord. And so there are different figures that are used, but in all of them, there is this element of separation that's going to take place between, the Lord here says, the wicked and the righteous. Now, how does one become righteous? Well, the gospel emphasizes very strongly that it's not by your works, it's not by your endeavors, it's not by your trying, it's the gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, very plainly, the just shall live by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. It says of Abraham, he was fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And so the way that we get right with God is by coming in simple faith as broken sinners deserving nothing but the judgment of God and receiving Christ as our Savior, believing that when he died on the cross, his death was adequate payment for all our sins. And that he rose again the third day. And that he's now at God's right hand. He's a prince and a savior. And we come in simple faith. And we give up all of our works and all of our efforts. And all that we do. And we accept the Lord Jesus. What a simple thing it is. What a profound thing it is. How it changes the whole life. The Lord Jesus says it's so deep. It's so profound, he says it's a new birth. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You can't see God's kingdom. You can't see God become a part of God's family, he says, unless you have this new life, this new birth. And it comes when we as broken sinners find ourselves at the foot of the cross and we trust him. Have you ever done that? Have you ever known this tremendous experience, this shaking experience, where you turn away from yourself and from your works and from everything else, and you trust in the Lord Jesus to save you, and you say, Lord Jesus, I'm the sinner for whom you died, save me. Now, when we do this, we are justified. We're declared righteous. We then become one of those who are righteous. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Declared righteous by faith. What a glorious truth. You know, the reformers were gripped by this truth. And it revolutionized their lives and their preaching. Martin Luther, when he discovered the truth of justification by grace through faith, it just completely changed him. His whole life, his whole direction, his whole ministry, everything. Justified by faith. What a message to thrill the heart. And those who then who have trusted in Christ and are justified, are God's children, as many as received him, he says, to those he gave the right, the power to become the children, the sons of God. These one day, he says, are going to be separated from the wicked. What a separation it's going to be. The Lord's going to come back, and he's going to catch up his people. those who know him. He says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Those that are alive, that remain, that are trusting in Jesus, are going to be caught up when he comes, along with those who have died before trusting in Jesus. Now, the separation then takes place. It's a time of judgment. A time then when there is no further opportunity. There's apparently no further opportunity to change from being wicked to being righteous. There's no further opportunity to be saved, as the Bible speaks of it. A time of judgment. And for those who are not believers, who are still among the wicked, it's a time of eternal judgment. And the Lord used strong figures, didn't he? He spoke more strongly about hell than anyone in the New Testament. And he could do this. He was the one who would die in order that no man, no woman might have to go to hell. And he certainly had a perfect right to warn and an obligation to warn sinners. What would happen if they did not turn to him and trust in him? The wicked shall be cast into the furnace of fire, Jesus said. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, the reality of eternal hell. The reality of eternal judgment. If you're a believer, it ought to spur you on to speak of the Lord Jesus and to warn sinners, to warn your relatives, to warn your friends who are still lost. That judgment is coming, and they need to turn to the Lord. If you're a believer, if you know your sins are forgiven, it should cause you to be very grateful, very thankful, every day so grateful that the Lord Jesus has saved you from that judgment. Jesus said, it's coming. The separation is coming. Judgment is coming. And he warned people to be ready. Are you ready?